We're talking this month about God's world, God's mission. And it's cool. I'm excited. God has just really been stirring in me with three different stories. And I thought at the beginning of this week that I was going to cover all three of them and just kind of snippets of it. But the Lord often changes sermons as they go. And so I feel like the other two are going to come out later in this month because we're talking about being united tonight. And we see that there were three stories, like I said, that the Lord's been stirring in my heart. Number one is Joshua and going into the promised land. Number two is Gideon, which we had little Gideon born this week, which Janine said, isn't it interesting that I've been talking about Gideon and how the Lord says we are Gideon's army, and we had a Gideon born into our church like this week. Yes, very cool. So that was neat, and he's adorable. And then number three is Ezra, and the way that Ezra went, they took the people back and they rebuilt the temple and Jerusalem. And anyway, so those are the three things. But tonight we're going to talk about being united in faith. And we're going to talk about Joshua and Caleb. And just that is important because one of the things that we're focusing on this month is missions, global U.S. missions and giving to missions. And our church is a missions giving church. We believe in missions. And the reason for that is because we as God's people are called to not just build our kingdom and not just build our city and not just build our church, but build his kingdom, which is here and there and beyond. People that we will never meet, you know, there we have opportunities to speak into the lives, into to see the gospel be spread in countries that we will never go to. And so the thing that is on my heart is that we, that our church would be able to support all of the Georgia missionaries. And there's a lot of them. Right now we're about halfway there. But we had started, we had decided that we would start missionaries at $80 a month. Because really, you know, that's really still not a lot. It doesn't, you know, when you're thinking of building a whole budget, but we wanted to start them at least that. And so praise the Lord, about six months ago, I believe it was in July, we met as the department heads and we decided this is a huge testimony. We had all of this extra in missions, because people are giving, church people, you guys are giving to missions. Yes. Praise the Lord. And my dad was not one that was that believed in just letting money, especially missions money, just sit there. And so that it's supposed to be giving into the kingdom. So I expressed to the department heads, and this is important because of what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I expressed to the department heads, this is Rick and I's heart, that we would be able to support all of the Georgia missionaries. And this is what we have. We have consistently had overage in our missions board. And so we agreed, okay, we're going to add 8 new missionaries. Like, and so we did. We added 8 new missionaries to our missions board. And so a couple of them are going to be coming to speak. One is coming in March. One is coming in April. And so just really exciting things, because as God's children, we are called to build his kingdom. And so I just want to challenge you this month. If you know us, we don't believe in, you know, we shouldn't have to twist your arm to give to missions. Because the truth is, if you are a Christian, whether you understand this or not, if you don't, you need to. Everything that you have is God's. When you surrendered your life to him, your checkbook and pocketbook and cash and debit card is all supposed to go with you. Like, you're not supposed to leave that when you go to the altar, like leave that over there at the house and I'm going to bring myself to the, no, it comes with you. And so you're supposed to say to God, God, what do we want to give here? And if you say it that way, then God can lead you to give beyond what is in your personal ability. What do we want to give? What are you saying that you want us to do? That is you and God, and then collectively us at Hidden Treasures. Because then we get to partner with other churches across nations, because, you know, all over the world, and partner and see churches be built and see people get to hear the gospel and all of those things. So be praying about that. And I also want to challenge you, and I'm sure we'll say this more this month, go out to the missions board And ask the Lord to lay a family on your heart and begin to pray for them. You might not be able to keep up with all the missionaries we have on that board. That's okay. Just ask the Lord to show you one and keep up with them and read the newsletters when they come in and send them a Facebook message. Hey, I'm from Hidden Treasures. Just want you to know we pray for you. You're on our prayer list. We're grateful to support you. If you have any new prayer requests, let me know. Jamie does that and often, you know, will post new things about missionaries. And so we got a thank you card from Devon and Mary, who they came last year, sometime recently, August. And we added them on, and they are Chi Alpha missionaries, husband and wife team, a wonderful couple. And they said, we would love to come back, the presence of the Lord, and we just loved being in your church. And so I'm going to message her and say, listen, y'all can come back anytime. We loved having you. So anyway, that's just exciting. So keep that in mind, because I feel like as God calls us forward in what he is calling us to do, the thing we got to keep in mind, and the Lord is so good to keep this in perspective as his people, is we are building his kingdom. We're not building Hidden Treasures kingdom. We're not building my kingdom or your kingdom. We are building his kingdom. It stretches way beyond what we can accomplish here by ourselves. It encompasses way beyond what you can accomplish on your own. But that's the beauty of being involved in a church, is that we can do things together, and then we can do things as the body that we can't accomplish on our own. And so, united in faith, Joshua and Caleb were united in faith. If you want to stand, we're going to read Numbers 13, 1 and 2. We're going to be mostly in Numbers tonight. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. Now, I want you to notice about these verses that the spies that were sent out, if you know this story about the 12 spies and half, you know, 10 of them brought back an evil report, all of the spies were leaders. They were not just random, you know, children of Israel people. They were leaders in their tribes, and that's important. Okay, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Notice, which I am giving, present tense. God said, I'm giving this land to you. That was God's promise, and they have the opportunity to walk in the promises that God had given. Which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Okay, you can be seated. So, they were all leaders. All 12 of them were leaders. That's important to remember because of how the leadership turned the tide of the people. Okay, verses 26 through 30. Now, this is when they come back and they give the report. They have gone into the land, they have spied, they have looked around, they have checked things out, and now they come back to bring a report because there are lots of Israelites. So they only sent 12 of them, and Moses sent 12 of them because that's what God said to do. He said, send one from each tribe. There were 12 tribes. So he sent 12 men, and they went for 40 days, and they looked at the land that God was giving them. So verse 26 in Numbers 13 says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, the Bible says that they had grapes between two of them. The grapes were so big, okay? Now, it says, they showed them the fruit of the land, and they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. That's what God had said. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, this is a big word right here, because what's about to come after is a big deal. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those are giants. So the descendants of Anak, just whenever you see that, you know those were giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So this is what they came back and said. They said, the land is great, nevertheless. And then they started with the with what they had to say about it. Will you put up the first slide, Jacob, or the second slide? If your nevertheless goes against, oh, that's the last one. We'll look at a giant at the end. I think it should be the last one. Okay, there we go. If your nevertheless goes against what God has already spoken, don't share it. Listen, we all have thoughts of fear and we all have buts in our mind, but don't share it if it goes against what God has said, because then you become like one of the 10 spies. So be careful about that. If your but is motivated by fear instead of faith. Yeah, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. Because the truth is, I mean, sometimes people are motivated by the wrong thing. Okay, if your butt is motivated by fear instead of faith, let God help you overcome the fear. And don't speak out what you're struggling with. Because, you know, fear can be shared. I mean, y'all, let's just be honest. We have seen it. In the last couple of years, fear can be contagious, especially when it is spoken over and over and over. And so as Christians, we need to be very careful that we are speaking what God has said and not what we are feeling, because all of us struggle sometimes. I mean, as much as I would like to always be in faith and never be in fear, I'm not there yet. I have moments where I'm struggling with fear, but those are the times to get into your prayer closet with God, to go and talk to somebody who is stronger and let them share your faith. It is not the time to make your opinion be known to everybody. It is not the time to get on social media and share that fear or that doubt or that confusion or that negativity with everybody. We need to be careful what we share and when we share it. Sometimes we need to deal with our own fear so that we don't share that with others and hinder what God is speaking. Again, we all have it. We just need to deal with it in the right way. Especially if you're a leader in any capacity, in the church, at your job, in your family. And the truth is, all of us are influencing people. We all have influence. And so we need to be careful that we are speaking faith. Courage isn't the absence of a feeling of fear. It's being willing to go forward, looking at God's ability instead of our own. Throughout Joshua, and I love the book of Joshua, because I've shared in honesty that I've dealt with fear myself. And so I love the book of Joshua, because you see God say to Joshua over and over, be strong and courageous. Therefore, be strong and courageous. Why do you think God kept saying that to him? Because Joshua was going to need that. He was going to need to be strong and courageous. So God's being willing to go forward, looking at God's ability instead of our own, because with him, we are a majority. With him, we are well able. And that's what Joshua and Caleb got. Okay, verse 30. Look in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Caleb, will you come up here, please? We have our very own Caleb. So I'm just putting Caleb on the spot. Usually he's Jesus, but I'm just going to let him be Caleb today. Okay? So you can get this picture in your head. Come closer so you can read this. Okay? So then Caleb quieted the people. There you go. And said,
let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.
Amen. Say that. We are well able, but with emphasis.
We are well able to overcome it.
Listen, wait, stay right there. Okay, so I need 11 volunteers. Anybody, if we get them? Okay, come on up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anybody else? 9, 10. Oh, yeah, come on. Okay, let's see. Okay, 1, 2... I'm going to count you guys, make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right, I'll be number 12. Okay, so we're going to have you two, because y'all, well, they weren't actually brothers, but it's okay. You and you. Sorry, Caleb, not you, just because he's actually Caleb. Okay, so y'all are going to stand right there, and y'all are going to say yes and encourage, okay? And all the rest of us, okay, because we're the majority naysayers. Sorry, this doesn't actually reflect on any of you. Okay, just for the sake of. So imagine, so that you can see, okay? The two were in the minority. So they come back, and imagine these are all adult men leaders, okay? Because we're, you know, for our illustration, we're just going to stand here. But adult men leaders of all the tribes, and they're standing in front of thousands and thousands of people, and they're giving this report, and the two of Joshua and Caleb are saying, yes, yes, yes.
Come on, we got this, guys. Let's get it.
Yeah, see? Yeah, okay. And the rest of them are, the rest of us are going, no, 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 okay? No, 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 no. Okay? Okay? Okay. All right. Stop for a second. Stop, 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 stop. Okay. All right. Stop. The only difference is imagine the difference. Okay. These people are actually love Jesus and are trying to do the right thing. These men that were giving the evil report were actually full of fear. So like we're all smiling because it's funny. They were not smiling. Okay. They were like, they were scared. Like they were freaked out. They were overwhelmed. They were stressed out. They were not looking at God. They were not looking in faith. So they're all like, in fact, we're going to see emotions were very high. I'm going to ruin it if you haven't read it. Like they're like, we need to stone them. Their brothers are saying we need to stone them because exactly. Okay. But just imagine. So y'all as stone faced as you can be, as angry, as fearful as you can be, they're going, no, 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 we can't do that. Okay. So, all right, y'all, thank you. Y'all can all go sit down. Great job. Woo. Okay. Now, so they all said, all of those people, so they're like, yes, the land is great, but the people are scary and the walls are fortified and we can't do this. In fact, they said, we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. Now there were giants in the land and we're going to look, I'm going to show you just an example in a little bit, but they were afraid, like I said, and fearful. So then, but Caleb had said, we're well able to overcome it. Okay, in Numbers 14, 1 through 5, I want to show you. So this is what happened to all of the rest of the people when this evil report came. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. That is how serious this was. Is that not just the spies now, but the whole group of people are crying, weeping, because their dream has just been shattered. They have come out of Egypt, and now their promise was that they would go into this promised land, but it's like for a lot of them, they have hit a wall. So we're supposed to go in the promised land, and how many of you, when God gives you a promise, you assume, this is just going to be easy. Like a yellow brick road, please, for me, God. You know, and I will just skip down the road and everything will be easy and, you know, and God will just help me and there won't be any problems or any trials or any drama, you know. But that's what we hope for, most of us. And then when we hit a wall and things are harder than we thought we were going to be, a lot of times I have just sat down and cried. Like, God, I thought this was going to be easier than it is. And especially if you have a bunch of naysayers saying, this is crazy. Like, we can't do this. I don't know what we were thinking. Like, why did we think that we could do anything great? Why? And listen, I am telling you, God is going to lead us as a church. I feel this so strongly into some new things. Into outreaches, into building in the future, into multiple things. And if we start looking, well, we can't do that. We don't know how to do that. Listen, I understand because I'm like, Lord, if we're going into new things, I need some new information. Like I need to grow as a leader. But what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, on who he is, on what his promises are, on the fact that he is the one leading. And we just follow. That's when faith comes, is when we trust and when we focus on him. It says, Verse 2, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Often, when we need somebody to blame, human nature causes us to need somebody to blame. And so all of the blame now gets directed at Moses and Aaron. It says, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. This is the problem. When you get negative, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just think about it. When you get negative, like you go to the nth degree, like, oh, this, I'm never going to be able to, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, that is easy for us to do in a moment of weakness. And this is what the people did. Oh, that we had died in the wilderness. You know, I mean, that we had died in Egypt. Like, no more great, miraculous walking through the Red Sea. We just want to die in Egypt as slaves. No, they didn't. But that's, you know, what they're saying in their frustration. If only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, this is serious. Let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Seriously? But listen, that's what the enemy will do if we listen to him. He'll say, this isn't working. What are you thinking? Like, why did you think that you could accomplish new things? Why did you think that you would be able to do any of that? You need to go back. Backwards is better. The old way is better. Go back to the old way and keep thinking. At least you knew what to expect and you knew what was going on, and that's easier. Yes, the old way is easier sometimes, but it's not. Because if you're not doing anything with God, if you're doing the old way by yourself, eventually it's going to get hard. It's always better to walk with God. Then Moses and Aaron did the right thing. They fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They fell on their faces and sought God to know what to do. And God told them what to do. Our comments, if you put up the next slide, our comments can inspire fear and complaining or faith and resolve. And this is important. Our comments, listen, this is not just adults. This is teenagers. If Jacob and Jamie say, hey, God is speaking to us about this new thing, and the teenager, well, I don't know why they have to make us do this. I don't know why we can't do things the way that we've always done it. Listen, comments, no matter what the age is, we got to train our children from early on that complaining is a sin. The Bible says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, if I wasn't reading that in the Bible, I would think that's a bit extreme. Like, seriously, all things? Everything that I do, I'm not supposed to complain, but it is scripture. Complaining and disputing. The word disputing, this is from the Greek, the Greek dictionary. Discussion, internal consideration or external debate, dispute, doubting, reasoning, and thought. To all things without starting a debate, without, you know, all this internal reasoning, well, if they would let me decide. Listen, all of us have been better leaders when we weren't actually leading. It's real easy to be, what is the word, a couch quarterback, a quarterback, something, what is it? Yeah, Monday morning quarterback. I didn't hear what you said. It's easy to think how things should be done if you don't actually have to bear the responsibility of it. Yes, couch quarterback. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time. Okay. This verse continues, Philippians 2, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Because usually what happens, I went on to verse 15. I was going to do verse 12, but I guess I didn't put that in mind. I want to show you this real quick and then we're going to move on. Therefore, my beloved, as you've already obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the verse before. Part of the way that God will work out that we work out our salvation is by choosing not to complain. in the midst when God has us in difficult circumstances, and as we allow him, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then the very next verse is do all things without murmuring and complaining. God never puts verses in a chapter by accident. Like often we pull them out, and that's okay because sometimes God speaks to us through a particular verse. But we can learn about what God is saying as we look at context. And there's a reason why this verse is right in the midst of God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure and of us being without fault and us working out our own salvation, because not complaining is help. It's a help in allowing God to work in us. It's a help in not having fault with our mouth. It's a word in allowing God to work. It's a part of allowing God to work in us. Okay, so let's finish this up. Numbers 14, 6 through 10. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. That is really encouraging. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. I said this, if you put up the next slide, I said this earlier, but when emotions are high, speak faith and encouragement. Because when emotions are high are the times when it's easy to speak negativity and fear and doubt. And again, we all have them. We all have emotions. Sometimes the best thing when we feel our emotions getting high is to just take a step back and spend some time with the Lord. Say, God, I need your perspective. I need you to show me your, what are you saying here? And God then, and also go back to what God already said. God, what did you say? What are your promises? I've said that over the last few months, I feel like the Lord has been saying, Shannon, look at what I said, not what do you see? Because if we start looking at what we see in the midst of a battle, we'll start failing. And then we'll start speaking what we feel and what we see instead of what God has said. And we need to be careful that we're speaking what God has said. And the way that we do that is we keep our eyes on him. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is Numbers 14, 11, how long will these people reject me? When we start looking at circumstances and we start complaining, we end up rejecting God. It's a big deal. And we see how big a deal it was based on God's response to the people. God is not, does not just fly off the handle because he's having a bad day. He's not like us. He never does that. If his punishment is strong, it's because the situation warrants it. And here, this was a serious thing, but it was also multiple times that they had tested God already. And so God said, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they. If you put up the next slide, listen, God is pleased with faith because faith makes us different. The world around us doesn't have faith. We are different when we have faith and we choose to look at God in the midst of circumstances. Learning to trust in God instead of fear strengthens us for the battle. Numbers 14, 20 through 25. Then the Lord said, because Moses started interceding for the people. And we don't have time to read all of that. But verse 20, it says, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Because God said, I'm going to destroy them and make a nation out of you. But Moses pleaded that God wouldn't do that. And so now it says, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him. Faith causes us to have a different type of spirit. When our eyes and our minds and our hearts are loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, when we are fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, it causes us to have a different spirit. And has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Okay, verse 28 through 30, I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. This is very strong. You will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land that I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So I want to end with this. If you put up the last slide, Jacob. Remember and remind. This, the statement, it doesn't really make sense the way that it says it, but I want you to remember. Remember and remind of God's promises. Because if you remember them, and then in the midst of a battle, you remind other people of God's promises. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. They said, listen, they pointed at God. And that's what we continually need to be doing to each other, is remembering God's promises and reminding other people of God's promises, bringing them back up, reminding of what happened. Because it's so cool. Joshua 14, and I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to close with a song. Joshua 14, verse 6. So this is after 45 years later. Because all of the people, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. All of the people that were over 20 years old died. But now they're getting ready with Joshua as the leader to go back into the land. And Caleb has not forgotten the promise that God gave to him, that he would go into the land. And so this is what Caleb says in Joshua 14, verse 6. It says, a delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old, and I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living in there, great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of the land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kirjath Arba. It has been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb, come up for just another minute. I want to show you one of the benefits of following the Lord. So it says in Deuteronomy 3:11, it's talking about Og of Bashan, who was actually a giant also. He wasn't of the descendants of Anak, but he was a giant just like the descendants of Anak were. So the land that Caleb said, hey, God said, you said I could have this land. It was great walled cities and towns where giants lived. Now, Og of Bashan, the Bible says that Og of Bashan had a bed that was over 13 foot long. So here, where are we at? It was a giant. So, so just imagine. That it was actually more than 13. So where Caleb's standing, so just stay there, Caleb. Okay, you can let it go. That was a huge bed. So, and it was an iron bedstead. So I'm only sharing that to say because I thought that was interesting. Thank you, Caleb. The land that Caleb got, it was giants lived there. A, he was not afraid to go in and take the giant's land at 85 years old. B, he got the giant's territory. I mean, he was probably living in big places. Like, there was plenty of room for them to move around, you know? I mean, it was like, that was a pretty cool reward. And so I just want us to sing. Actually, if the worship team will just come up, and we're going to do we're going to do this song as a group, just as a declaration to the Lord that, God, whatever you want to do with us, we want to do it. And so I just challenge you, let's just close by singing this song and saying to God, God, I give myself away so that we can accomplish your will. And let's say that to God together. God, whatever you want to do in me, do it. And we want to do it together. God, we give ourselves away for your kingdom, for your purpose, for your plans to be done in and through us. Amen.
Take my heart.
us to be a part of your plan. And God, I just pray that our hearts, that our mindsets, that our perspective, that we would be led by you, that we would see as you see. God, that when we struggle with fear and with seeing from our own perspective, that you would just gently remind us and that we would come back to the place of faith by looking at you and your ability, not our own. God, I pray that as we go forward in doing what you called us to do and accomplished, that our eyes would be on you together, that we would be united, God, in faith to do your will with your presence and by your power. Because God, you said that it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. We know that anything that we do, God, is because of you and it's for you. And we pray that we would keep that perspective. We would encourage each other to do the things that you called us to do and to walk in your promises to see them fulfilled, just as Joshua and Caleb did. And we thank you that we will see the rewards of that as we walk with you, and we will give you the glory, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. Let's go forward in faith. Amen. Amen.